This is our first Sunday in national lockdown, and I wonder, how is it for you? I found a few friends just to listen to them and their experiences, and these, of course, the jokers. Ah, this is nothing, and they just make jokes about it. But I wonder deep inside whether they are too afraid to face reality. And it might be a way of handling anxiousness and stress inside of us just by making jokes out of it. There are those that expresses their deep concern and uncertainty with which they live. And it's understandable. One guy said, I just know everything's going to be different for me in life. And the uncertainty about it, it's what gets to me. I wish I had some more control. I don't know what it's going to be like. I've experienced a great financial reversal. And there's, of course, the underlying fear in a lot of us. Even though we might not use the word fear, we would say things like, I'm very concerned. I'm worried. I'm worried about my parents. If they should be contaminated, what's going to happen to them? There's a lot of frustration with some of us. And we realize control is an illusion. What am I going to do now? Well, it sounds as if for most of us, it's as if our life came to an end. This is not life. This is survival. I wish we could get out of it to experience life again. To us, there is an invitation from Paul in the passage that we've read. He's in lockdown. To be technically more correct, house arrest. And he's writing to other people that are in difficult circumstances, troubled times. And he has a message to them, good news. And he's telling them, it's not the end of your life. I'm inviting you to a life that is truly life. You can experience life right in the circumstances where you are. And he said, the life that you can experience is a life with God. The God of peace can be with you. You can experience Him. He is very close to you. And if you experience His presence, you will experience peace. A peace is much more than the absence of turmoil or the absence of war. It is the presence of a feeling of everything coming together for good for me in my life. There's an aspect of hope, of calmness, of restfulness to the peace that we can get. And he tells us that we can get this peace if we do the things he's recommending us to do. Now, that doesn't mean if we don't do stuff, God is not with us. He's with us, but we don't experience his presence. And we can't experience his peace unless there's another way of life that we're invited to. So, three things. First of all, our focus. Paul invites us to put our focus on our inner life. Not that what's happening to us, our outer life, the physical stuff, is not important. But we know what's happening. The problem is that our focus can only be on the outer stuff. So he invites us to become aware of what's happening inside of us. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? What do you want? That's the important stuff. That's the place where we have control. There are some things in life we don't have any control over. And that's the stuff that's happening to us now. We don't. There are some stuff that we can influence. There's some stuff that we have control. Our locus of control is on the inward life. It's what we think and feel and want. So the invitation is to put your focus on what you have control over. He's asking us not to split our lives, because that's what happens so easily in circumstances like this. We just focus on the outer life, if that's our life. No. Our life is more than what's happening to us. It's also what's happening to us inside of us. So he's pleading for a whole person approach to life, not to split your life. Why? Because our life is determined by what's happening inside of us. Guard your heart, the wise old Solomon said, because out of your heart will follow and flow life. What does it help you if you've gained the whole world? If you've got everything you want and you need, you're very comfortable, but your soul is dying. We've got to focus on the inner world, our mind, our soul, our hearts. Otherwise, our world is just too small. Your life is not small, but you might be living it in a small way. Open up. Live expansively. That's the invitation. Otherwise, you lose your life. The invitation then is to turn inward, become aware of what's happening inside of you. And here's the big invitation. Do not be concerned. Don't be worried. Don't fear. So become aware of your thoughts, of your feelings. Are you anxious? Are you concerned? That's what's taking away your life. And this is the good news, that you can get rid of that inner functioning. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. I mean, that it just echoes the teachings of Jesus. You can be happy, even if you're poor. You can be happy in turmoil. You can be happy, doesn't matter what your circumstances are. That's the invitation. Now, why do we get anxious? Because our thoughts are in the future. What's going to happen to me? And we play out all the scenarios. You know, and one of the big neuroscientists of our time says, it's because our brains are wired for survival and reproduction. And that's why our brains are so busy all the time, working with all the scenarios and looking at possibilities all the time. Recent research has shown that we spend about 48% of our time in the future. Only 12% in the past, 28% in the now. The rest of the percentage, 12%, has to do with connecting the dots, or it is blank space in our mind, or the thoughts and the images are so vague that we can't quantify them. That is normal functioning. But if you look at it, we spend most of our time in the future, which is unproductive. Jung said 90% of our thoughts are repetitive and useless. It's our default mode, but we live on autopilot. I drove to make this recording on autopilot. I had no idea who was next to me, the road I took, the robots. I couldn't tell you whether they were green or red or whatever. I'm on autopilot. If you come to the end of the day and you live through that day on autopilot, you'll find your life meaningless, monotonous, boring, because life is in the moment. Life is not about the future and it's not about the past. Of course, we must have dreams, we must plan, but our default mode should rather be to return back to the moment, because this is where we can find God. This is our life. What has happened is in the past, what's going to happen is in the future. The only time that really exists for us experientially is now. And that's the invitation of Paul, to just let it go. Your present moment is loaded. It is rich. It's where life is. It's where God is. So the invitation is to become aware, to become more aware, a bigger awareness, not just of the physical threat, but of the potential of the life that is given to me right now at this moment. That's why Paul says, be thankful in every circumstance. The only way you can be thankful is through a broadened consciousness, by not just looking at the threat, but looking at what is, what I have, of life itself that's been given to me at this moment, and of everything that is loaded in this, the presence of God. So Mulholland says, verse 5, it is paraphrase. Let everyone know your life is being lived in another structure of being, one in which the Lord is constantly a vital presence. So first thing is focus on the inner world. And then there's some things that you are supposed to do. And you've got to train to do them. To the young Timothy, Paul says, train yourself to godliness. Don't try to be godly. Train. There are some things that you should do. And to the Philippians, Paul writes and says, what you've learned, what you've seen, what you've heard, do that. So Paul says there's a training. There's a teaching. There's a modeling that should take place. It just doesn't happen. You know, the problem is some of us don't do any training. We're not working out spiritually. We don't know anything about the inner work that we should do as a means of grace to dispose ourselves for God to enter in and to do the things that He wants to do in our lives. If the real match came and the test came, we're not prepared. It's like playing tennis against the wall. It's not the real thing. It's not a game. But I've got to do it in order to be ready when the game comes. But it's never too late. Perhaps now you're in the field. We've got to play. We've got to perform. It's never too late to learn how to do it. So here's just two of the things that he says that we should focus on in the inner world. First of all, our thoughts. Look at it. Are you concerned? Are you worried? Move away from it. Replace those thoughts with what is true, what is honorable, what is beautiful, what is just. You know, it's replacement. It's not just fighting what is wrong. It is accepting what is right. And that is an ability that you have. Viktor Frankl said, in the concentration camp, it's the last freedom of every human. It cannot be taken away from you. People can do anything to you. But how you respond, how you look at it, how you feel about it, is in your hands. You can do something about it. So, just redirect your thoughts. Not as an escape, but as a broadening of your reality. My life is more than what I can see and what I feel. God is in my situation now. And I focus on that. Now, one of the big ways that the early church did that was by focusing on the Bible, on Scripture. Because they said, the Scripture is God's truth. Scripture is God's Word. It's beautiful. So fill your mind with the words of God. A very other important thing that you should do is to look at your emotions. What do you feel? Make your petition. petitions, your desires known to God. Many times, if we become aware of our inner world, we don't like what we see. And we have a problem with the fact that we have a problem. It's just complicating. It's just how it is. Just accept it. We are human. And we find ourselves in a place where we discover things that are very upsetting in us. We can be very childish, with a lot of unbelief, a lot of anger. It doesn't matter what's in you, it's what's in you. And Paul's invitation is to accept it, but to verbalize it. Tell God how you feel about it. Now Peter says, 1 Peter 5:7, Amplified Version, that we should make all our worries, all your concerns, make him aware of it. Cast all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately. He cares over you watchfully. Just give it to the Lord. And then the third thing is that you should receive from God. Early in my life and walk with God, I was taught how to give. Give your requests, give your thanksgiving, give your praise, give your thankfulness. Nobody taught me in my early walk how to receive. We know something about giving prayer, but not receiving prayer. And we're invited by Paul to receive. It's a very important part of any relationship. It's give, it's take. I give attention, but I also need attention. I listen, but I also need to be listened to. I feel, but I also need to be felt. And that's what we're invited to here. Paul says that if you make your desires, your request known to God, if you focus on what is truth honorable, the peace of God that surpasses understanding will guard, garrison your heart, your mind in God. You will receive something. So, after you've taken a seat and you said some things to God, how you feel, you look at scripture, you fill your mind, you get to a place where you just be. You let everything go. It's a prayer of silence. It's moving to silence now. I just let all the thoughts go. And one of the ways that the early church did this was by making use of a sacred word. As soon as I become aware that I start thinking about the past or the future or what I should do, I just let it go by using a word like Father, like Jesus, like peace. Just to establish my intention that I want to be with him. By that movement, I activate my sense, my intuition, that is just as important as my thoughts, as my feelings. We have a lot of inner faculties and functions. And Paul invites us in our walk with God to live from those resources, from those streams of living water that's inside of us, to let it flow. So receive his presence. Become aware of his presence and receive his peace. Just listen to the words of Jesus and imagine him being with you now and saying, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the others and the doors were locked, for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and he said, "Peace be with you. So He is with us in this moment. Although we cannot see Him, we can sense Him. We can feel Him. And we can hear with the inner ear, peace be with you. You are in my hands. See, it's a wonderful invitation to us. In this time of lockdown, which is our isolation, to move to solitude. And that movement has to do with a change of inner attitude. To be isolated in lockdown is to be in a place where something is forced upon you. A restriction of movement. You can make it solitude, a choice. To be by myself and the people I'm with God. It can be a wonderful Holy Week for you. And an Easter weekend of a different kind. Where we have lots of time. Something that we don't always have. For the Missa, just to think. Just to become aware of. A time of reading. A time of thinking. A time of praying. A time of just silent. Being silent. We can so easily in this time just escape. Just by spending all the time through the television and eating and drinking. But it'd be so good if we can just grow in solitude, in silence, on the inside, to cultivate a new consciousness. Because our journey in this life is a journey we should travel with a deep consciousness of God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the life that you've given us. We thank you for the word that's a light for us. Help us, Father, to acknowledge and to become aware of what's happening inside of us, to give it to you, to open up, make some space for you to live the life of peace. We thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, amen.